BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Watch out, it's Adam and Joe, coming from space to your brain. They got a little pack of highlights from the Six Music Show for you to hear again.
They got rid of all of the music, and the bits were incredibly crappy. So now there ain't a whole lot left, but hopefully enough to keep you happy. Here we go.
Hey, this is Adam.
Hey, this is Joe. Welcome to the brand new special podcast of the highlights of the Adam and Joe radio show, which is available to listen to live on BBC Six Music every Saturday morning from 9 a.m.
Yes. Till 12. Oh, you ran out of air there.
Yeah, went too high.
Are you okay?
Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast on your MP3 player, then you might be out and about. And it can be very dangerous to listen to audio whilst involved in daily tasks like travelling on the bus, walking down the street, or buying things. So listen carefully to these safety tips. Tip number one.
For goodness sake, don't listen to this podcast while you're out and about in the street.
Tip number two.
For goodness sake, don't listen to this podcast underwater or whilst performing heavy brain surgery.
Tip number eight.
For goodness sake, stop it. Just stop it.
Tip number 415.
Pop in the Goo Johns for 15 minutes on a low heat.
The Goo Johns?
Yes.
I don't know what they are.
They're delicious. And if you are on the tube, yeah, do try and stifle the giggle, because no one likes a public giggler, because
it
seems very smug, like you're in on some joke that they're not in on.
Which you are.
You might get beaten up, that's all I'm saying.
Just
but listen, let's stop rambling, because there's lots more rambling to come. Enjoy! This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. We were talking about Louis Theroux's programme last weekend. He went inside San Quentin. You only caught the last 10 minutes of the show.
I did. I try to miss Louis' programmes because he's a good friend of mine, and it makes me jealous.
It makes you a little bit jealous.
If I miss them, I just don't. Then I can say to him, oh, I missed your show.
Yeah, but
it was really good.
If you miss them, though, then you can't join in the water cooler chats that always occur throughout the week.
I don't hang out at the water cooler anymore.
I love the water cooler.
Do you?
Yeah, I mainly go there as soon as Louis' programmes
I saw him at the very end looking very sort of dismissive at a mass murderer.
I don't think he was a mass murderer. He'd done a bit of torturing and home invasion.
Louis wasn't impressed by him. He was looking down his nose slightly at him.
Well, yeah, exactly. He can't condemn them utterly, can he? He has to remain impartial because it's the big British castle going out there being represented by Theroux. But he certainly can look sniffy at them. And he absolutely took full advantage of his sniffy powers. But the guy who was in there for, I think, 500 years or something.
That's a long time. Do they keep him alive for that length of time?
Yeah, he'll do the whole stretch. And he was basically saying, it's not so bad, you know? Louis was saying, wow, that's depressing, isn't it, that you're going to be in here for all those 500 years? The guy was saying, no, the main things you've got to get rid of in your mind, right, to make it bearable, you just got to basically set your standards right down. You've got to lower your sights.
He said it was women.
Yeah. Forget about women and forget about what goes on the outside world. He mentioned boat rides. It's one thing that a lot of people mention, I noticed. I was watching a thing about...
Well, a boat ride. Someone else mentioned a boat ride.
Charles Bukowski. I saw an interview with him, and he was talking about boat rides being something that made life worth living.
It's euphemistic, I suppose, but it's not that euphemistic, because they are wonderful.
Yeah.
They bob around.
When was the last time you went on a boat ride?
A boat ride? I don't know. I don't know.
Never go down the Thames?
I don't know.
On a boat?
I'm trying to think. A boat ride. I've been down the Thames in a speedboat.
Yeah.
That was a brilliant boat ride.
When did you go on there? Were you with James
Bond?
I went
to pitch to direct an advert that I didn't get, but it was an advertising company that had a private speedboat.
And speedboat?
Yeah, picked you up and took you to Canary Wharf.
We want you to direct an advert for us, Cornish. We're going to pick you up in the speedboat.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
We changed our mind, Cornish. We don't want you to direct the advert. Get back on the speedboat.
The advert's for guns and bombs. What do you got? What was your idea?
Guns a man, bombs a woman, and they're happy.
Don't like it. You're out. We're going to get the guy.
Get back on the speedboat.
You can't even go on the speedboat. You've got to go on the bus.
On the bus boat.
So there you go. The guy who was doing 500 years, that was the main thing that...
He'll never go on a speedboat.
He'll never go on a speedboat. unless it's
hard to come to terms with.
What would be the circumstances whereby he went on a speedboat?
If they had to transfer him to another prison really fast.
Right, if the whole prison got invaded and blew up and stuff, and it turned out that he was, despite all his hideous crimes, he was the only man for the job to...
I bet he's quite a character. I bet if there was some kind of prison breakout, some kind of Michael Bay-style adventure happened, I bet that mass murderer would be a good... He'd be wisecracking.
I'm not so sure. You know, the things that came across most strongly in the doco was how boring most of the criminals were. In fact, all of the criminals
Have you not seen Con Air?
Well, this is what I'm saying,
Have you seen Reservoir Dogs?
None of the personalities...
Have you seen Goodfellas?
Yeah, yeah.
Criminals are...
We've been misled.
Brilliant.
We've been misled.
They're fun. They're wisecracking.
Listen, I'm telling you.
They're violent, but, oh, sometimes that can be really cool.
I'm telling you, I think we've been misled.
Head in a vice?
No. You know, it's not nearly as fun as you would expect. And also, I watch Prison Break. You don't even watch Prison Break. Oh. All the people in Prison Break, they're fun, they're sparky.
Sparky.
They're generally in there for the wrong reasons.
Is that not real?
And it's all the people...
Criminals are boring.
They're boring. They're quite stupid.
They're stupid?
Yeah. And they're generally just quite tedious people.
Note to Hollywood.
Yeah? Criminals...
Stop glamorizing.
Yeah.
Do it more accurately. Says...
Stop it.
They're boring.
Okay.
Watch out is another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits. But that's cool. I like weaker bits. I can handle up to three.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Yes, it's the nation's favourite feature. Text the nation.
Not the nation's favourite feature.
What is it?
I'm just being the small print. It's fine.
Oh, I see, yeah. But it's not provable. They could never get us for that.
Really?
No.
No, it's a lie. And they're not tolerated at the big British castle.
Yeah, but how could they disprove it? How could they?
They could do a survey and most of the nation would not be aware of that feature.
I didn't realise you were going to pull out a survey.
Yeah, they could easily do a survey.
Oh, a survey.
They're always doing surveys. Most of the news is generated by stupid surveys.
Forgot about the survey. That was the one chink in my armour, and you just went in there and mentioned the survey. Now, this is inspired by a trip I had to Sticky Fingers, which is a restaurant in London's Kensington district, owned by the former Rolling Stones bassist Bill Wyman. And Sticky Fingers, as far as I'm aware, has been around for at least 20 years or something. It was there at the beginning of the 80s in the kind of theme restaurant boom. Had the Hard Rock Cafe, and then, of course, in the 90s, you had Planet Hollywood and places like that. But Sticky Fingers, he got in there fairly early with the whole thing, you know, when it was still fairly unfashionable and ludicrous for a pop star to be doing that
sort of
thing.
I suppose it's always been traditional for famous people when they retire to open restaurants and hold court. It's what Rocky Balboa did.
That's right.
In the film Rocky Balboa.
I haven't seen that yet.
Stood around looking like a brick wall, boring people with stories about things that never happened.
Yeah.
Because he's fictional. But then the restaurant was fictional as well, so why am I complaining?
Sounds great. Really, I've got to see that film.
I love fictional restaurants.
So, you know, have you ever been to Sticky Fingers?
I don't think I have. Certainly not for years and years and
years. It's like a burger joint. It's very similar to the Hard Rock
Cafe. It's classy American food, but, well, high-quality burgers, and presumably it's got Rolling Stones memorabilia
all over the walls.
Does it? Has it got anything good?
It's got some wacky posters, and it's got various guitars that you would cover.
What would you kind of want? You'd want stuffed naked ladies. You'd want, I don't know, some dead groupies.
Little bits of mix.
Died in body. Overdosed in the 70s.
That kind of thing.
You'd want them, the available members of the band, in glass cases.
I got one of them.
Did you?
Bill Wyman.
He was there?
He was there.
Wow.
He turned around. It was a very quiet Monday afternoon that we went along. And this is with the children. We took them out for a treat. And... They were up for a burger, so we went and had the burger. But we turned round, and suddenly there was Bill standing there. And because I was thinking to myself, I bet Bill doesn't come here and eat this stuff.
Well, he probably goes there, but no, he doesn't.
I turned round, and there he was, standing there with his children.
Mind you, does he have teeth? Oh, but did he just mash it up?
like a tortoise.
Someone mashes it up for him and then he has it through a straw. No, he's in good shape, man. He's in good shape.
Is he in good shape?
Yeah. He was looking pretty good, actually. Mm. Yeah. So I was impressed by that. Anyway, it got me thinking, like, maybe the whole theme restaurant thing should be due for a bit of a revival, because there haven't been too many. You know, the last one I can think of was the Model Cafe, which was a bit of a disaster.
Yeah.
So we were wondering, listeners, if you could come up with some ideas for more contemporaneous theme restaurants for celebrities.
We'd like you to think of a celebrity, think of the name of the name of their restaurant, what food they would serve, and how they would decorate it.
Nice.
I watched The Invasion this week.
Well done.
It's a film with Nicole Kidman and Craig Fairbrass. What's the name of the guy that plays James Bond? It's Craig Fairbrass.
Anthony Stodgkins.
Anthony Daniels. Jeremy Stodgkins.
Yeah, and Tony Stodgkins.
Douglas
Craig
Bubble Trousers.
Big Head.
What's he called?
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig. There you go. The Invasion's a film, what went wrong? It was originally directed by Herschel Gordon Lewis, Michael Herschel, the guy that did, what was it called?
We're pretty on top of all the facts today, listeners.
The one about Hitler, Downfall.
Downfall. Right.
Yeah, he did that and he got headhunted by Hollywood and given a big remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers to make. But then it all went wrong. He started making a more serious film than the Hollywood suits wanted. Mm-hmm. So they booted him off. And bought in the Waka Waka Kowski brothers to try and zip it up a bit, the creators of The Matrix. They shot some new stuff, used some innovative editing techniques to try and give it a bit of vim and pep.
Are they still using their little bullet time stuff in there?
No, their tactic for livening up The Invasion is it's about a virus, as every film is these days. Mm-hmm. But their tactic for livening it up is every time anyone mentions the virus, they go into the person's head and into their bloodstream, and you see the globules of virus, and then it goes out of their heads again.
Right.
Yeah? And they also cut forward in time. Mm-hmm. They intercut little moments from scenes, like what, who, just to get you confused and excited.
And
the
moments that are in the future, are they sort of desaturated and slightly blue?
No.
They don't do anything like
that? It's all wrong, but it's nevertheless has some pretty good bits in it.
Right.
Where you can see the director's original intentions coming through. But my girlfriend and I became fascinated with Nicole Kidman's forehead.
Right.
And Annabelle commented that it never moves.
I had a big argument with someone about this the other day.
And she's right. That's how she gets through Nicole Kidman films.
Apparently.
She just watches the forehead. And there is absolutely zero movement from the eyebrows. But before you tell me your thing, I'll just finish this thought. So in the end, we did notice that in one scene, the left eyebrow raised very, very slightly. Mm-hmm. But it was down and then it cut away, then it cut back and it was up. So we think that they detach the eyebrows and that between takes, you know, they're raised, the left one's raised a bit if something awful's happening.
Right, a little bit like stop motion.
But this is why she plays robots and brainwashed people the whole time.
I see ladies, yeah. Because she's got very little
absolutely no movement.
Facial range. Well, my friend's theory was that she's had a lot of surgery.
Botox.
And a lot of Botox in there. And I said, no, not Kidman.
She must have done.
She's a natural beauty.
I've never seen less expression. But then we started looking at Craig Fairbrass's eyebrows.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig.
John Donkins.
Yeah. And they weren't moving either.
Were they not?
So maybe this is just how to be a great screen actor. To completely still face. They do say stillness, don't they?
Absolutely. You've got to have
completely
the stillness.
Completely still face, no expression. You see, Roger Moore, his eyebrows went up and down the whole time.
Right.
And he became a laughingstock.
Exactly. No control over his eyebrows. Mm. But Kidman,
to be a great actor,
micromanages the eyebrows.
Yeah. Would you say? How many stinkers has she had in a row, though?
Ooh, loads.
She's had so many stinkers. We'll do some research.
It does hurt. She's got a big stink trail.
She's leaving a trail of stench behind her that surely must have some repercussions soon.
Yeah, what? Text the Nation time. Before that, you heard I Was a Cub Scout with Pink Squares. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, and we have some of your suggestions for celebrity restaurants.
Yes, Adam, thanks very much. Here are some of the texts that have just come in. Neil in Leeds, he's 68 minutes into his bed in.
Is he?
Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Good job, man. I wish I was there with you, Neil in Leeds.
Do you?
Well, yeah. I mean, he sounds nice. I bet his bed's comfy.
Mm.
You know?
Gordon Ramsay could have a blue-coloured establishment where he sells, wait for it, food! Whilst he swears indiscriminately at any and every poor soul who has the misfortune to cross his foul-mouthed path, he could call it Angry Gordon's Blue Restaurant.
Right, nice. What is Ramsay's real restaurant called? Is it...
It's called Globodyne.
Globodyne. Mm.
It's on a space
restaurant.
Station.
Yeah.
Welcome to Globodyne.
And it's got robots and they...
Sure, they've
got lasers. They kill you if you don't like your food.
There are topless girls with silver on them dancing in tubes with air.
Globodyne.
Jetting upwards from
the
floor. I
love that restaurant.
What's that? That's the one in Outland, isn't it?
What?
If you could visit any science fictional restaurant, I'd visit the one in Outland.
With girls in tubes?
Yeah, baby.
Are you not confusing that with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
No.
Augustus Gloop getting stuck in the
Someone
chocolate
out there
tube.
Will know what I'm talking about. Here's another one from Rusty. Brad Pitt should open an all-you-can-eat buffet called The Bottomless Pit.
Nice.
I like it because he doesn't have much of a bottom.
No. Oh, you were thinking about it from quite a different angle.
I know it's like all you can eat, but your stomach is a bottomless pit. But the actual literal reading of the phrase would be bottomless pit.
Yeah.
Pit without a bottom. And a wool shop called Pitt's Knits, where he can make and sell bottomless merch.
That's nice.
That's short for merchandise. That's from Rusty.
Very good.
That's good.
He does have a very small bottom, doesn't he? In Thelma and Louise.
Have we seen it, the bottom?
In Thelma and Louise, you see his
bottom. Is it nude?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
It's nice.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it as nice as Michael Douglas's bottom in... is it Basic Instinct where he... And it's like...
You see his bottom in almost all his films,
it's
don't you?
Like two skin-coloured hot water bottles hung from a belt.
Hi, this is a sexy woman, and you're listening to the highlights of the Adam and Joe BBC Six Music show. Ooh, this podcast has got me so hot. I'm too hot. I'm going to have to sit down and take off my cardigan. Oof, I'm boiling.
If Claire Scothern is listening, is that right? It's S-C-O-T-H-E-R-N. Claire Scothern, I'm not sure where you are. You're probably in your house. Can you see a man called Alan Hobbs? Have a look with your eyes around the place. You might spot a bloke called Alan Hobbs in your vicinity. He would like us to help him propose to you. He wants to marry you up.
He wants to do the marriage thing.
Marriage you all over the shops.
And now listen, is she called Susan?
Claire.
Claire. That's not a good start, is it?
It's a good question, though. Is she called Susan? No, she's not. She's
this
called
is
Claire.
The, it's the kind of thing you've got to check before you go into the marriage.
Yeah, make sure you get the right
Make sure you
the
get
right
the right
bird.
Name. If you think it's Susan, wrong. You shouldn't be getting married. It's Claire. Now, this is for the rest of your lives, okay? Now, I know celebrities and
or such
people
time
like
as
this.
You wish to blast her into space. I like using the Flash Gordon marriage vows.
Listen, if you are going to blast her into space, that's one thing. But if it's just some smutty affair or you just lose interest, or you're not prepared to do the work that goes into a successful marriage, then I don't want you to enter
imagine,
into this
though,
contract.
Imagine them
kids.
Now if they're listening to this. Yeah. Hopefully you are listening.
Right.
He's just proposed all over your face.
Right.
What are you going to do about that, Claire?
What an amazing... This could
maybe
either
they're
be...
crying and hugging.
Yeah.
Maybe they're punching each other. maybe they're just confused. She's like, what? You? Who knows?
There could just be awkward silence.
How lovely of you to have asked us, Alan, to help you. And we're very pleased to help with that engagement. Let
she
us know whether
be,
she says yes or no.
Yeah, exactly. We'd like to hear about that. She you might know. Just be sort of staring off pretending she didn't hear. Like kind of really washing the dish. Oh, these dishes are very... Stop talking, Claire. Listen to the radio. No, it's okay. The dishes need to be done. You know, don't worry about it. I've got to go out. Bye.
Nice. Max Ellis says, hello, Adam and Joe. I'd like to visit a Radiohead-themed restaurant called In Rainbows. Mm. The building would be a giant fiberglass rainbow trout, and diners would have to dress in worm costumes. There would be piped ambient digesting noises to accompany the eating experience. Food would be weed-based confections. What sort of a weed does he mean there? Garden weeds.
Weed. No, because you're under sea, right?
Oh, seaweed.
Yeah, so right. It's like in rainbows.
Stephen Hawking's food and physics restaurant.
Yeah.
The diners sit in chairs just like Stephen's and order their food via his patented talking type pad. Rather than the normal table-based dining experience, the diners drive around the restaurant eating their meal from their laps. Every half an hour, the siren goes. Then for 5 minutes, everyone charges around in a massive game of doddrums.
I like that.
I had
Stephen Hawking on my list.
The restaurant would be called A Brief History of THYME Time.
Nice.
Love the show and my mum, says Mick Ayling.
Good. That's very good. All bases covered there.
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test. So check it out.
Okay, so Song Wars this week. Now, the theme, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but it's certainly what I constructed my song about, was instructional songs for children.
So songs for children that have some element of a sort of educational element.
And yours is 40 minutes.
It's 40 minutes. No, yeah. It's not. It's like 150.
Well, you see, I got some very negative reactions for going over the two-minute mark last week. Ooh, lordy, people didn't like that.
Not from me.
No, you were nice about it. But I reined myself in and I went back to the what I consider to be the core of the Song Wars ethos, which is something very short, pithy. I went for the one-minuter. So anyway, shall I play mine first?
Why not? I'm hot for it.
I'm pretty not confident. You know, I've got used to the whole world of loserdom. Don't start now.
What?
Because,
what?
You know,
I said you're making and then made a noise.
Yeah. We know what that means. We know it means that I'm not allowed to say absolutely anything because you think it'll prejudice the vote, even though I'm doomed to lose every week anyway.
You're doing very well. It's like 4-6, isn't it? Or something?
No, it's not 4-6.
Isn't it?
No, it's 7-3 or something like that. It's more like 8-3.
Is it
8-3? Yeah. Anyway, so here is my song. This is an instructional song for children, and it's about, it's fairly self-explanatory. It's called Toothpaste Brush.
Every morning you should get a little toothpaste and pop it on the bristles on your brush. Then get to work with the brush and the toothpaste. Cleaning off the dirt, no need to rush. I care so much for the health of my gums and teeth that I have a brushing session after eating every meal. And I also use some floss and some mouthwash and perhaps an interdental brush depending how I feel. Apart from cutting down on expensive dentist bills, this routine keeps my breath smelling nice. And of course I have to say that there's nothing worse than tooth decay. Look out for your teeth, that's my advice. An electric toothbrush is what dentists recommend. Just go easy or you'll mess up the enamel.
Come on, meatballs!
Sorry. No, well, you know, I think I was a little more adventurous with that.
That
track
was good. That was good.
Than you were with your meatballs,
yeah.
Bowie yodeling one. But anyway, there you go. That's Adam Buxton's one, Toothpaste Brush. What have you got for us, Joe Cornish?
I've got a song designed to teach kids right from wrong.
Oh, my Lord, that's a big subject.
It is. You know people are always complaining that kids don't know right from wrong. They've forgotten the distinction between right or wrong.
These days.
They're doing some really upsetting things. They're crossing lines that kids might not have crossed in the past.
Right.
And they've just forgotten right from wrong.
Okay, good. So you're going to sort that out
I'm
for them?
I'm going to fix that.
Excellent.
It's a bit strong, this song.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a bit strict and harsh.
Well, you've got to be strict with the children these
days. You have to imagine me singing it in like a big knitted jumper.
Like Nick Haywood?
Or like a sort of grey, like Nick Haywood now, like slightly greying Nick Haywood.
Right, okay.
A kind fatherly figure.
Nick Haywood crossed with Val Dunican.
Yeah, I'm singing the verse and then the chorus is sung like by a big crowd of people and kids and the actual chorus line is sung by a chicken.
Okay.
Like a Cajun chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
This is good, man. I can't wait to hear this.
It's important that you visualise a Cajun chicken.
All right, then.
And so this is called the Right and Wrong Song.
Is it beautiful.
It's right.
This is a song about wrong and right.
And those things are right.
This is a song about wrong and right.
Is it right to have a smoke, light a spliff or sniff some coke? Is it right to deal crack? There's nothing wrong with that.
It's wrong.
That's for kids, and you know, you can listen to it and then guess whether you think the things are right or wrong.
Right, right.
And then, like, they go, right, it's right, or it's wrong, yeah. Depending on whether it's right or wrong. And then in future life, if you come across any of those situations, like if you're offered membership of a gang or drugs,
right,
you can think back to the right and right or wrong song. That's the idea.
Does it help you with your teeth at all?
It doesn't, no.
No, it doesn't, does it?
That's where, yeah, that's where
that's
your
where
song
mine
has the
comes
upper
in.
Hand.
Yeah. And what's more useful at the end of the day, if you're sitting there, if you've got severe tooth decay, if you've just had, you know, you've spent the weekend with a rubber dam in your mouth and you're having all kinds
what's
of root canal?
Dam?
Well, you'll find out if you don't take care of your teeth. You will become
dam.
Familiar with the world of the rubber dam, my friend. And then you won't be singing your chicken song
you sure
so much anymore. I can't believe
products.
I'm going to have to sit there next week and listen to that chicken song again. From
it's
Joe
not
Cornish.
The chicken song.
That's who's singing it. You said
it's,
that.
It's a Cajun,
the Cajun chicken.
It's,
I'm going to have to listen to that again, aren't I, next week? We're going to have to listen to them again before the end of the show, even. Not that it's a foregone conclusion or anything.
Absolutely not.
But that was Song Wars for the time being. We will return.
I'd say you're bound to win.
You reckon?
Because I've been cast in the light of like an evil something.
You see, you're the worst winner in the world. You win week after week and you
and
sulk
complain
and you
about
complain. That
I want to lose. I want to lose.
Right, right.
I want to feel what it's like to lose.
Here we go.
Watch out is another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits. But that's cool. I like weaker bits. I can handle up to three.
Now, I had a little quandary, Joe. I want to run this past you,
sure.
Okay? And I found this website, right, that has all these kind of classic films and amazing documentaries and stuff on it. But it also has classic filth on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Filth of yore, when filth was fun. Particularly enticing was a filthy version of Alice in Wonderland, which I've actually heard of before on my travels. And it looks pretty amazing. You know, like really well-made filth about Alice in Wonderland. What more could you
this
want?
This is live action.
This is live action, yeah, yeah. And so I was thinking, that would be great. I would love to see the filthy version of Alice in Wonderland. But then, on the next page, when I was looking through the documentaries and stuff on there, they also had
this. Is this a DVD site?
Yeah, yeah, DVDs. Yeah. They also had The Sorrow and the Pity.
Right.
And I was thinking, I've never seen that. I've got to.
It's not that arousing.
I really. Well, no, exactly. But I really want to see it, right?
Right.
So I wanted to order both titles at the same time. But I thought, you can't do that. It's totally disrespectful.
What's happening in your head? What do you imagine is happening in the office of Dirty Videos Incorporated when they receive your order? What do you think? Picture the scene. I mean, what's your nightmare scenario?
Well, I hope.
Your mum has got a part-time job there.
Yeah.
That's the worst it could be. And
right.
She's sorting through the orders, and she's reading them all really carefully because she loves her job.
Yeah.
And, ooh, Thomas Turner has ordered... Yeah, and making judgments about... Is that what you're afraid of?
No, I just think it's a sort of totally metaphysical quandary that I have. Like, I'm not even worried that I would get busted or anything. Mm. Like, I don't think I would go on any lists. It's all above board. But it just seems wrong, morally, to order those two titles together.
I think, okay, let me sort it out this way. That in times of war,
yeah,
there is a lot of sexual activity.
Right.
In fact, during 9/11, you know, when the world changed, there was a big birth boom and a marriage boom. Equally, you know, during the Second and First World Wars, there was a big baby boom.
Yeah.
People like to, you know, counteract the violence and death with pleasure and birth.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it that way.
I will look at it
that way. It's a twin pack, a yin and yang. The sorrow and the pity.
And the film.
And the stiffy. It's a twin pack.
Excellent.
Triple pack.
Thank you very much, Dr. Cornish. That's exactly the answer I was hoping for.
Yeah, what? Yeah, what?
Okay, it's time to wrap up Text the Nation. We've been asking you to suggest celebrity restaurants. Dear Adam and Joe, how about an establishment based on the work of Mark E. Smith called The Man Whose Gut Expanded? It would have a limited supply of crisps, but a plentiful supply of boozes and substances. There would be a rapid turnover of staff at the whim of the grumpy proprietor, resulting in an erratic but strangely satisfying experience.
That would be good, and you could have little ciggies on the table when you sit down next to your knife and fork. You get a ciggy.
Ciggies. That's from Chris Eccles. Is that the name of a fall song, The Man Who's Got Expanded?
I don't know, man. There's
is
a lot of fall songs.
Play on words? What's going on there?
Well, The Gut of the Quantifier is a fall song. That might be a good name for a restaurant.
Here's
as
one
well.
From Andy in Folkestone. Morrissey could open Meat is Murder.
Mm.
There'd be live cows and an abattoir next to the kitchen. When people order a steak, he will wheel a cow into the abattoir and say in a loud voice, could you do a Morrissey voice?
What does he say? Is this really what you want? You want me to put a ball through his head, you murderer? What's wrong with my geranium soup? That's not a very good Morrissey
impression. That was like Ken Corder.
Yeah, it was. He wasn't even from Manchester.
Tom from Kettering says, Mr. Beans, where Rowan Atkinson provides a variety of bean-themed dishes.
Nice.
And not just baked beans. I'm thinking chilies and kidneys, too.
That's very good.
Jack Peake. Mm-hmm. The Flaming Lips should open a restaurant eponymously named The Flaming Lips.
Right.
Serving especially hot food. Jalapeno pepper-laden pizzas, vindaloos, etc. They would also have especially capacious toilets that played soothing classics from their albums. Kind of like a chill-out area.
That's good, man.
That's from Jack Andy Richards. Good morning, lads. Britney Spears could open an all-you-can-eat restaurant called Gimme More, where you're plagued by paparazzi from the moment you arrive, and halfway through the meal, they take your kids away. That's quite good, isn't it? I like the idea of being plagued by paparazzi.
Yeah.
That's quite easy. It's cheap. Just get students to do it.
Right.
No film in the camera, just flashes. Or maybe there is film in the camera,
yeah.
And you buy the pictures on the way out.
That's not a bad idea.
That's a brilliant idea.
And
you have a red carpet
exactly.
And a crowd of...
Exactly.
Oh, that's a good idea. Who's that from? Andy Richards.
Let's Andy, do it, Andy.
Because you've sent that into the Big British Castle, it's now our copyright property.
We're going to nick that idea off you.
We'll have all the money as
Hooray!
Well.
Nice. Well, listeners, friends, that's pretty much it for our inaugural condensed Adam and Joe Show podcast. We very much hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, of course.
Yeah, that you can listen to the whole show unedited as it went out via the BBC Online Listen Live player thingamajig. Or you can listen to the actual show live from 9 a.m. till noon every Saturday on BBC Six Music. So many ways to enjoy a couple of idiots droning on about nothing.
More of the same next week. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast, then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now. bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.